All right, live local radio on a Saturday morning. I'm Jim Taylor. It's WRMJ, the small market radio station of the year, as announced by the Illinois Broadcasters Association. Today, going to have a nice conversation about memories of Hawthorne Ridge. And I guess we'll preface our remarks. That's what we're going to talk about, the memories of Hawthorne Ridge. We're not going to get into the other stuff. This is just about people that were involved in bringing this golf course to town. And I said going into the break that we had two guests. We're honored today. We have three guests with us as we go to the WRMJ Time Machine. We have the first ever pro out at Hawthorne Ridge with us via phone line down in Florida, Tom Kelly. We have Matt Ewing, again, 1984 state golf champ. He still looks like our state golf champ. He still looks like he's 1984 young dude out there. Farming keeps a young guy like young. And we have Paul Flint, who was involved in the process back in the late 1970s. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you.
Morning.
Good morning.
Tom Kelly, well, we're glad you could join us and have a conversation with us today. Well, let's begin with Paul Flint. Take me back to the late 1970s. And actually, Tom is living outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, not Florida, so I stand correct. That's the first mistake I've already made today. But anyway, John Hoshank corrected me on that. Paul Flint, take us back to the late 1970s and tell us about this golf course coming to a lead out.
Sure. Thank you, Jim, for hosting us. Actually, in about 1974, my uncle Mitchell Warwick was thinking of a project to do something good for the community. And he had actually looked at the original Warwick farm out northwest of Aledo. And we had this architect, Jim Spear, who we knew had built some golf courses around the Quad Cities. He came and looked at that property and he said, "Hey, this is like for mountain goats. It's way too rough to build a golf course." So about a year later, or 6 months later, Mitchell had bought it's now the north half of Hawthorne Ridge. And so there was a 155-acre property there, and that's where we decided to build the course. We got going with Jim Spear. And basically what the whole thing was Mitchell wanted to do something good for the community. He was a successful farmer, and that's the way it all got started.
Do you remember, Matt Ewing, the first time you played out there?
You know, I actually don't remember the first time I played, but what I do remember is driving by, seeing it under construction, and just being so excited, and I just couldn't wait to get out there.
Now, have you played golf before Hawthorne Ridge or not?
Yes, I actually, Mom and Dad were members at the club, so I grew up playing there had played a couple junior events that they had out there, just with a few of us that played out there, but no real competition up until, you know, I was 10, 11 years old when Hawthorne was actually opened.
All right. So Tom Kelly with us from North Carolina. What are your memories about coming to Aledo and taking over as pro of a brand new golf course? What about that for you?
Well, it was pretty exciting for me. First, I want to say hi to Paul and Matt. I haven't talked to you guys for a while. It's great to hear you.
Thanks, Tom.
But I grew up in Bettendorf. Went to University of Northern Iowa, but I had left to take a golf pro position in North Carolina. And when I got my Class A status with the PGA, I started looking for golf jobs as a head pro. And this was advertised by Paul and Mitchell on the PGA service, I guess you'd call it. And I was lucky enough to land a job. And it was exciting to be part of something brand new because there were, you know, no blueprints, just everything wide open. So we really embraced it and had a great time coming to Aledo to create something pretty special.
Now, Paul, do you remember the first time you played out there?
Sure. Actually, somebody told me the other day that he was on one of the golf teams, and he said he thinks he remembered that Tom and I, before the course ever opened, we took some of the members of the golf team out onto the golf course and showed them what it was like. I didn't remember that, but what I do remember, in addition to the golf course first opening, was how many local people Tom got started in golf, people that you would never expect to have held a golf club in their lives. But and then, of course, with Tom started the junior program and just did a fabulous job with that.
But do you remember the first time you were at number one tee box and you played at Arthur Ridge? Your memory's too foggy right now.
Well, I don't remember the first time I was on the tee box, but I do remember something that used to happen when we first opened. We had a couples league on Friday night, and I'd worked all day long in the clubhouse eating hot dogs and Pepsi, and the couples would come out. Of course, Mary would come out. Since I worked there, a lot of times I'd use a new ball, and what she'd say, okay, don't hook your first shot into the lake. Guess what? About 3 out of 4 times I was in the lake on the left side of number one.
All right, so I was going to ask you, Matt Ewing, how many rounds of golf, I probably should have had to do homework before you came on, how many rounds of golf do you think you played out there?
Oh, my. I wouldn't even wager a guess. A lot.
So the memories for you, you know, you talk about Hawthorne Ridge, and he mentioned the high school team was out there basically right when it opened in the late 1970s. So really, Hawthorne Ridge was synonymous with Lido Green Dragon Golf. Again, you won a state title individually in 1984, and then the team won a title, too, which is a great celebrated success for the former Lido School District. So what about the kind of that being synonymous? So Lido Green Dragon playing golf out there, and now the Mercer County Golden Eagles, of course, and Hawthorne Ridge.
Well, absolutely. And actually, if you go back, when Lido first picked up a golf program, they were attempting it out at the club a little bit. And that was right when Hawthorne was being built. And I really look, and it feels to me like Hawthorne saved the program. And one of the cool side notes when I first came there was Tom Kelly was actually my high school coach my freshman year. I believe, Tom, that you left right at the end of my freshman year. Would have been fun to have gone all the way and had you all 4 years, but you know, obviously we ended up getting a good coach in Bob Hoffman, but Tom really was huge for the junior program, as you mentioned. And one of the things that I would share in that is Hawthorne Ridge, in having the opportunity to travel around and play a lot of golf all over the country, Hawthorne had an approach to their junior program that I have not seen hardly at any other golf course. They allowed us to have tee times with the regular players back in the day, which was something that was unheard of. Mm-hmm. In all honesty, they kind of were like guardians over us. I mean, we would come out there and, you know, before we were 16, our parents would drop us off and we'd be spending the day there. And whether it was Tom or Paul or Mitch or any of the other people that were working out there, you know, kids can get in trouble, but they were there. They watched over us, and they provided good programs, and we were able to actually go out on the golf course and play 18 holes, you know, like the regular general paying public, and that's something you don't see at most courses around the country.
Well, Tom Kelly, I want to bring you in. You know, those words from Matt Ewing are pretty impressive. What is your response to that? Because I got here after you had left, but man, that was a perfect testimonial about you, man. Wow.
Well, I appreciate it. As Matt said, it was a community effort. You know, Mitchell and Paul were just wide open on let's teach these kids how to play. Friday mornings, I had an 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 11 o'clock class. I might have gone through 75 kids in a Friday morning, and they were, you know, at first I was trying to keep them from not, you know, running into one another and hitting each other over the head with a club, but they embraced it. You know, I was young back then, and I had energy. You know, I remember when the golf team got formed, or when I became coach, they said, well, you know, you can't coach the team unless, you know, you got to be a teacher. I said, well, I have to have a high school teaching certificate I never used. And I said, well, we have to pay you. I said, well, pay me $1. So, not only did Mitchell and Paul, pitch in, and, you know, the rates were super affordable for the kids, and they let them play and practice. you know, the whole community, the school, you know, everybody really embraced what we were trying to do, and it was a lot of fun.
Let me share a little story about Tom Kelly and the kind of person he is. He took myself and two of my friends, Mike Landis and Eric Ricketts, and we went in a pro junior event somewhere out in Iowa. I can't remember what course we were at, but about the sixth hole, my buddy Eric hit it in a sand trap, and when he hit the shot out, Tom called a penalty on him because he grounded his club. And I mean, it was something that was easily overlookable, but you know, it speaks to the character of teaching us the game completely. And that's something that I will never forget. It stayed with me for the rest of my career, that there's a right way to play this game and a not right way to play it. And he wasn't going to teach us bad habits, even as junior golfers. And I can't remember how that ended up, but we had a lot of fun that day, and that's the kind of pro that Tom was.
You talk about having the right people, Paul Flint, in the right place mm-hmm. when you start something new.
Right.
So that's something that, with Matt, what he's speaking to, mm-hmm. sounds like in the late 70s, the right people were there to get this thing off the ground, and especially when you talk about the footprint of junior golf with the amount of kids that came through that program back then. So how important was that, getting that kind of generation involved at an early age?
Wow. I still get thank yous from the parents. It's just amazing, you know. It makes me emotional now that I'm thinking about it. But, you know, the people just love that. And but anyway, you're talking about the right people. In addition to us, we haven't mentioned yet, our maintenance out there was fantastic in the early days. We were rated, I brought this with me, it's an article that was in the Quad City Times, and it stated that we were the best public course in the Quad Cities area.
Awesome.
You know.
Well, and that's why I thought it was great, and you guys can share this, Matt and Paul here, because I'm big about dropping names, like in these programs, and you guys started talking about like people involved, and we're dropping a bunch of names. So I think you were talking back and forth. So you brought some names up. So bring them up on the air. You were talking about basically all the people involved. So go ahead. People want to hear those names because they'll be sitting at the coffee shop saying, "Oh yeah, I remember them."
Right. Well, Jim Holtschult from Kewaunee was our original superintendent, and he ended up going down to Burlington Country Club after a few years. I want to mention the Hergert family from Milan. Stan Hergert really made the thing happen. We kind of spun our wheels in the first few months of construction, and then Stan came on board with his son Tom, his son John, and then eventually other Hergert family people worked at the course once we opened. Shane Salisbury, there were several other superintendents. Tom Hergert had taken over for Jim. But, yeah, we just had a bunch. Oh, I wanted to mention somebody that really stands out. We had a beautiful, big oak sign out by the road there for years.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Kenny Taylor, Terry Taylor's dad, Terry Taylor lives in Whiteside County. But anyway, his dad actually cut that thing out of the huge oak tree and made that sign for us. So Kenny is gone now. But anyway, I wanted to thank him for that.
Yeah, and Tom Kelly, here's a guy taking over this pro job at Hawthorne Ridge. And I know when we take new positions, we're a little bit nervous, anxious, apprehensive. When did you say that, man, I think I made the right decision here, and this golf course is going to work, and I got these kids involved in the youth golf program? When did you say, man, I feel good about what I've done here?
Well, I just think within the first couple weeks, I think, of being there, you know, the newspaper asked me to write a weekly article. I was invited to join the JCs. I mean, it was like the whole community embraced me. And, you know, we really felt immediately accepted. You know, so we knew that this was going to be something special. And as Paul said, you know, the golf course was turned out to be a great golf course. It was in great condition right away in the beginning. And, you know, that's because, you know, he and Mitchell made sure that, you know, things were done right. And, you know, it was really a very compatible team of people, you know, working together. I mean, you're asking for other names there, too. I got, you know, one of the kids that was in our program, Matt, I'm sure you remember, he would come up from Oquawka, Todd Hamilton, mm-hmm. 2004 British Open champion. And he would show up on Fridays and play with these kids. And, mm-hmm. you know, he was a little bit older, but, you know, we reached out a pretty good broad distance and drew a lot of people in, and it was a, you know, a big family kind of a thing.
All right, hold that thought because we need to take a break. Pleased to have Tom Kelly with us, first ever pro at Hawthorne Ridge. He's down to North Carolina this morning. We also have Matt Ewing with us and Paul Flint on the WRMJ Sportsline live local radio on the IBA Small Market Radio Station of the Year. That is WRMJ and WRMJ.com. More coming up.
Maybe you know someone like Sue. She's the mother of three, married to Sam. And like you, they're busy. Sam farms, Sue works, and the kids, well, even now, seems like they're always on the go. Life gets in the way of living, Sue says, and she knows she needs to protect her family. So Sue says to Sam, "We need some life insurance." Sam agrees but says, "We don't have time for it." Not with Country Financial. They're so flexible, they'll make the time to meet you where you live, in person, online, or on the phone. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative? Sue says you should.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Viola, see me, Troy Mayhew.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
COVID-19 has changed business for so many. If you're one who needs to set up a home office, start by going to osi.biz. That's the web address for office specialists in Galesburg. That's where ordering is easy from office specialists. They have everything to keep your office running smoothly. From furniture, business machines, and copiers to computer services and sales, office specialists understand your needs. They deliver to your home or office too. Navigate your new normal with office specialists. Go to osi.biz.
Time is winding down at 6140 Run for 50% off athletic shoes by Ultra, Brooks, Mizuno, Hoka, and Saucony, including Saucony's cross-country spikes. That means only $60 a pair while they last. Save on the best athletic shoes for walking, running, working out, or for every day. And always get a good fit with Albert, the 3D foot scanner. 6140 Run carries Wolverine and Red Wing Irish Setter work boots, too. The best fit at the best price is at 6140 Run, 218 East Main Street in Galesburg.
Buying new is out of the question. The next best option, a quality pre-owned vehicle at a sweet price. But where to start? Progress Park Auto Sales should be first on your list and will probably be the last too once you find yourself in a warranted vehicle from their lot that is just what you were looking for. Did I say warranted? I sure did. Most of their vehicles come with a comprehensive warranty. And if they don't have what you want, they'll find it for you. Open every weekday to serve you. Progress Park Auto Sales, Route 17, Aledo.
All right, Jim Taylor on the WRMJ Sportsline on this Saturday morning talking about memories of Hawthorne Ridge. And Matt Ewing is with us, Paul Flint with us, and via phone line down in the Charlotte, North Carolina area is Tom Kelly. And kind of heading into the break, we were talking a little bit about Mr. Kelly brought up Todd Hamilton's name. And, you know, we talk about golf in that era of the 1980s and the kind of the footprint that Hawthorne Ridge had at that time, and Todd Hamilton played at that course. That was Matt Ewing's home course. And then, what was it, I think, Matt, 83, 84, 85, or somewhere around there, you know, Chuck Fizer came to mm-hmm. Aledo later, and he owned Hawthorne Ridge. He was a state champ that went to University of Illinois. And I thought it was Hamilton, Ewing, and Fizer those 3 years in a row that won the state title. Was it around that?
Well, you're close. Todd actually won 2 years in a row. And then Chuck won, which would have been his senior year, and then I won.
Okay, but still, that's pretty yep. awesome that all those dudes mm-hmm. that were some way, somehow involved, you know, playing out mm-hmm. at Hawthorne Ridge. Now, Fizer after, you know, when he went to Riverdale and then went to the University of Illinois, but it's still neat when you had those type of players in that area that are all connected now right. onto this course. What right. about that?
That's awesome. Yeah, it was.
And then you throw in the Monmouth Zippers back in the day, where that was the big mm-hmm. Olympic Conference golf rivalry between the Dragons mm-hmm. and the Zippers.
Well, absolutely.
And you can go ahead and say, bring back the Olympic Conference. Come on, say it, Ewing. Say it.
That wouldn't bother me. But, you know, I do have to say that it really shows the kind of program that Hawthorne put together, because Gibson Woods at the same time mirrored it with Tim Sweborg and everything that they were doing down there. Mm-hmm. And those two programs ran about a 10-year stretch of state champions, because Monmouth ended up having the Briggs brothers, Tad Bednar, and they had a number of players that ended up winning the state title as well. Their teams won a number of them. We won one. And so that it just shows when you put a program, a junior program together, it'll pay off eventually.
Yeah, and Tom, you know, it's neat where you can reflect, you know, in your career and say, well, I had Todd Hamilton, who won the, you know, the Open Championship in 2004. That was a young kid when I was early in this business, played at a golf course where I was at. You know, Matt Ewing was out there grinding professionally, played in several PGA Tour events, and you can look to him, and then a career at Illinois State University, and kind of other kids that have come through the area. So how proud are you when you talk about, you know, some of those traditions that were created back then? And I'm sure you're saying, man, 1984 or 1978 doesn't seem that long ago, but it is a long time ago now.
Well, I can tell you it's 40 years ago, because I have a daughter who's 39 and was born in Aledo, so it's been a while. But, you know, I've had the good fortune to have great experiences in the golf business. I actually went on to actually build and open 5 other golf courses after I worked at Hawthorne Ridge. But I got to say, creating that junior program was probably the most fun and most rewarding thing I've done. And I've now retired from managing golf courses to coach the Belmont Abbey College golf team, just because that's in my blood.
That's great. Now you wanted, Paul Flint, you wanted to share a story.
Todd Hamilton story. One day, I wonder if Todd was home from the University of Oklahoma, because I think that's where he played his college golf. And it was a really cold day, and we'd had a few players out earlier in the day, and I'm kind of thinking, man, I should probably close. Okay, so like 12:30, right after lunch, here comes Todd Hamilton. I let him play all 18 holes.
Wow, that's cool.
And, you know, because I thought, okay, he's surely going to quit after 9. I mean, it's terrible. It's like 38 degrees. The wind's blowing. Okay, nope. He goes on, plays the back. The other thing I always tell my grandson, when Todd came to play, a lot of the other kids that he was with would go in and get a candy bar and pop or whatever. Todd would be out practicing in the sand trap or putting green. Right, Matt?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, and I guess, Matt, you can speak to what about some of the rivalries back then when the Dragons would take on Monmouth or whoever out there at Hawthorne Ridge at a dual meet or a triangular or an invite. And you can drop some names, too. Go ahead. The Hall boys. I know they're probably listening today.
Yeah.
Say their name, whatever. But, I mean, when you look at that roster of dudes that played with you, you know, and Matt was inducted into the High School Hall of Fame here with that golf team, and Coach Hoffman, always such fond memories. I know that was such a great time and a great group of dudes that played.
Yeah, it really was. And that group goes all the way back to that junior program, and that's where we kind of...
But I do want to stop you there, because, you know, when you talk about Hamilton and you talk about Matt Ewing, they were in my belief, don't just call them golfers, because they were great multi-sport athletes. And one of the great stories I have about Todd Hamilton, I remember I was talking to Dan Dillard, who was the Union football coach, and they were like a state... I think they got to the state championship. And I remember I got react from him after Todd Hamilton won the British Open. And he said, I wanted him to play both. And I said, oh, really? And he said he would have probably been the starting quarterback on that state that team that got to the state title. And I remember I told Todd Hamilton that at a media day at the John Deere Classic, or it might have been the Hardee's Golf Classic or whatever it was back then, whatever the title sponsor was. And he really took a step back, and that, like, meant so much to him that he said, man, the football coach said I would have been the starting quarterback. And this is a dude that had already won the British Open. That was, like, the big, you know, such meant so much to him that he heard that. But that's, I mean, back in the day, don't just call them golfers, and it's important that they played golf, but they were a lot of multi-sport kids that could have done a lot of other thing, and if they would have let you had the dual participation, you probably could have played both sports.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that group, they were a group of competitors.
Absolutely. And I probably would have competed in both, and it probably would have hurt my golf game. So.
Matt, I do remember a football coach that was mad at me because you weren't going to play football.
Yeah. Yep, Matt was a junior high quarterback, I think.
And then here's how Matt showed him. I won state. Look at my trophy.
No, I was a junior high fullback, so I was not needed.
Oh, fullback. Okay, all right.
But you want to – I cut you off. So the rivalries back then – you know, and Hawthorne Ridge being part of that and playing out the course, out at that course. So when schools came in, they knew it was going to be a great opportunity for some rivalry golf, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Two of my best, fondest memories that I hold on to, I think it was my junior year, we were playing in a dual match against Monmouth. And I know Eric Ricketts and I were paired with one of the Briggs boys, and I think maybe Buck McBride from Monmouth was the other Monmouth player. And on the first five holes in a dual match, I went birdie, eagle, birdie, bogey, birdie. I had not made a par. I was four under par.
Wow.
Probably the lowest I had ever shot in a dual meet was two under at that time. And here I am on walking to the 6th tee, and I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm in shaking. And all of a sudden, I go from freewheeling it and making birdies and eagles and it too. I'm holding on and just trying to make pars on the last four holes. I make one bogey. I end up shooting three under par. You know, everybody's congratulating me. The team has won. We did it against the rival Monmouth. And I'm kind of mumbling under my breath because I'm thinking, man, what that could have been. But it got me out of my comfort zone. And it's something that, you know, as you get better, you learn that that's a necessity. And then fast forward to probably later that year, my junior year, we, as you mentioned, Chuck Fizer was probably the number one rated player in the state at that time.
And he went to Riverdale.
And he went to Riverdale, and we did all our regional, sectional, and then obviously state tournament together. And the regionals were up at Gulfmore, which was a course that he played all the time, and he blew us all away. I mean, I think he shot three or four under, and I think I was at 76 or 7. But advanced to the sectionals. So the sectionals were hosted out at Hawthorne. And
you're like, you're coming to my course
now number one golfer's coming to my place, and it's time to play. And we had a good battle all day. And in the end, he made maybe one or two mistakes coming down the stretch. I think I shot 71, and he was at 73, maybe two worse. But I won it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the next week, Chuck went on and won the state tournament, and I finished 10th. But I really feel like the momentum for me personally, knowing that I had beat the state champion, you know, the week before he won the state tournament.
That was your junior year?
That was my junior year, and that really gave me some incentive. And it was also a good lesson going into the next year to keep focused on, you know, what you're doing, and you're going to have a chance down at the state tournament.
So then you go from your junior year to your senior year, and you talk about what junior golf has meant in this area. I'm sure you fine-tuned some things that junior year to your senior year. But then some of the kids that you played with in that era, I know they had to take advantage and grow from their opportunities in Hawthorne Ridge. Who were some of the other kids, if you want to just talk about, you know, played in that era?
Absolutely. I'll share two things. One, the team that ultimately we ended up winning was myself and Eric Ricketts, and then a group of other Seton guys, Brian Hall, Darren Hall.
We want Seton on us. Yeah, there we go.
The Seton connection.
Yeah, Brian Hall, Darren Hall, John Zelke, and Bob Howard.
A bunch of good dudes, man.
And you know, one of the things that is really cool about that is I think all six of us ultimately went on to college. And I think five of the six played sports there, maybe four of the six. And, you know, we all to this day still play golf and enjoy it very much. Obviously, I don't play as much as I used to. I wish I played more. But But the thing about that team that's interesting is that team benefited from an earlier team. The earlier team, my first mm-hmm. year that I went down to state was my sophomore year. And on that team, we had Mike Landis, Tim Loving, Bart Eshelman, and Jeff Doherty, and then Brian Hall and myself.
So Jeff Elliott.
Or Jeff Elliott, that's what it was. Jeff Elliott, I'm sorry. And so we had, you know, four seniors, and then we had myself and Brian Hall, a sophomore and a freshman. That team, honestly, in a lot of ways was just as good. They just didn't have the experience. I think if that team would have spent 2 or 3 years going to state before that, we might have had a chance to win that year. But unfortunately, we were young, and even the seniors were on their very first trip down to state. And of course, when you got a guy like Todd Hamilton in the field winning, it kind of is intimidating.
Yeah. So Brian Hall, he has the two sons that have played at Rock Ridge, right?
Darren.
Excuse me.
Yep.
So Darren is probably telling his kids, listen to you and talking about how good we were back then, boys.
Yeah.
But then Tom, and we'll get Paul in here too. So you hear those names that Matt Ewing just mentioned, and you're like, yeah, those dudes all went through Hawthorne Ridge, and they competed at the highest level within the IHSA that has a very proud golf tradition in the state of Illinois. So that must make you feel pretty good.
It does. I mean, I'm too old and I've forgotten some of those names, but I really appreciate hearing all that. And, you know, I think one of my goals was to give those guys something they could do the rest of their lives and maybe help them mm-hmm. get into college at some point in time. And it's, like I said, it's probably one of the things I'm most proud of is the junior program that we created.
Yeah, and then, so Paul, when this course opens in 78, so you hear Matt talk about basically fall 82, fall 83, mm-hmm. and then fall 84 when he won it all and the team won it all. That means basically all those kids in 78, you know, or junior high, maybe just starting to kind mm-hmm. of pick up the game or getting more serious about the game, and then you kind of see this crescendo in the early to mid 80s where, man, we really created kind of a golf juggernaut in this community with the youth.
Yeah, and in addition to those names, there are some other kids, call them kids, like Kelly Frieden, a couple other guys that have played in the Oakview and Hawthorne Men's League for like 40 years now, and they got their start. A guy that we lost last year, Brian Dennison, he was in that group, maybe a little older than Matt. Younger. But yeah, and you know what I was going to mention, too, is the support we had from the community, from like Murrock FS. They ran a tournament that was called the Amana Tournament, I believe. And it was amazing how many kids we got from all over the area to come to that tournament. And also WRMJ and Tom basically got together, and this was an adult tournament, well, junior and adult, but I was looking at some old numbers, and there were 126 players in an individual golf tournament. Okay, now how many people get into individual tournaments? It's pretty much all Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, 126 people in all these ages from senior down to junior.
All right, and John, you wanted to mention, John Hoscheid is here today too. You said 1 o'clock Wednesday afternoon.
Well, yeah, and Paul can speak to this because we were talking about it before we got going, and Tom organized a lot of this stuff.
Well, before yeah. I asked Matt how many rounds of golf he's played at Hawthorne Ridge. Do you know how many rounds of golf you've played at Hawthorne Ridge? Come on.
Probably, I don't know, once a week for 40 years prior, you know, that type of thing.
And Joe Hoscheid's saying too many.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, not enough, yeah. That's for sure. But the other thing, like Paul and I were talking of the state of golf in general, is the fact that he was telling me the numbers. There's back when, in the height of the, let's say the 80s, there were two-thirds as many rounds played then than there are now. And that's how much it's fallen off. And I always tell the story, when I first got here, you know, I was a new businessman, and I was trying to call on advertisers, and I couldn't find anybody on Wednesday afternoons. There was probably 20 guys playing at Oakview. There was 20 to 30 guys playing at Hawthorne, 1 o'clock. If you showed up at Hawthorne at 1 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, you'd fill in a foursome or play with 16 guys. There'd be some teachers and just businessmen and that type of thing. And I finally told Roger Coleman, I said, Roger, I'm playing golf on Wednesday afternoons because I can't.
He's like, no, you're not.
I said, I can't. And then it was the same way in the Quad Cities. I said, there's no businessmen to call on Wednesday afternoons. I'm going to go out and create relationships on the golf course that'll help the business. So that's what I'm going to do. That's what I did. And I can't tell you how much golf has helped advertising sales at WRMJ.
That's awesome.
Because of relationships. I can, it's amazing. But,
so, but I wanted to ask you too, and I'm glad you're in here because, you know, from, you know, having Matt and Paul in here. So you come to Aledo in the late 70s, 79, the station signed on, the golf course opens in 1978. But, you know, Matt's here. So I wasn't here. I didn't get to cover that. Aaron, Matt, we're about the same age. I know I look a lot younger than him and have a better hairstyle than him, but anyway. I mean, when you cover, like, interscholastic athletics, and I've done it for 30 years now, you just, like, know the kids kind of, like, that do it the right way, and they have it figured out. I assume covering kind of that group in 84 and Matt's, the kids that he competed with on that golf team, you kind of knew that they were probably a special group,
yeah.
And they competed the right way. And I know Tom Kelly, who's listening, he deserves a lot of that credit.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Just your observations kind of on that era and those kids that really picked up the game at that
time.
Well,
like I said, Tom got all those kids out there at Hawthorne playing and the little guys, and then they grew up. And Matt brought out a great thing. Tom and Paul, parents could drop their kids off at the golf course and leave them, and they would play. And the other thing, too, is they knew the rules of the game. They knew the courtesy. So it wasn't like if you were out there playing with a bunch of guys and you saw Matt and the Hall brothers and Eric Ricketts out playing, you'd go, oh, gosh, you know, we got to wait for them, or they're jacking around, or they're doing this. No.
You got to get out of our way.
Yeah. Can we play through, guys, you know? And you never had to worry about that stuff. And to watch their prowess, you know, how good they all got. It was a lot of fun. He did a great job. I mean, at that time, I mean, Tom had the Aledo program going, and Bill Piper had the Monmouth program going. I mean, and the Pfizer River. I mean, you talk about some really good Class 1A high school golf in this area. It was unbelievable. But the other fun thing that Tom did is we don't do it enough anymore, but he organized at least once a month a Wednesday road trip. Yeah, Paul goes, oh, yeah, yeah.
And
back then.
And you don't have the headphones on, but yeah, Tom's chuckling right
yeah.
now, too.
And those were some of the most fun times I've ever had in my life.
So that's like going to a different golf course.
Yeah. Finkbein in Iowa City. I'll tell you a funny story, too. We used to go to Eagle Ridge.
That's Galena?
Yeah, Galena. And we would stop at, what was the name of that place, Tom? Crazy Pete's or something in LeClaire.
Sneaky Pete's.
Where they,
yeah,
if you wore a tie in, they'd cut off your tie. So Tom had organized us to stop there and have dinner. But those road trips were unbelievable. We went to Eagle Ridge one time, and we got up there, and we were a few guys were really grumbling because green fees were $35 at Eagle Ridge. And we're like, gosh, that's a lot of money to pay for golf. It had been the early 80s,
okay,
before Tom left.
You should drop names to his grumbling. Come on, man.
Well, some,
this is a name dropping.
They were like $10 at Hawthorne, I think.
Yeah. So, we had a fun time. I can tell one story. He's gone now, but there was a guy from Alexis named Doc Lawrence.
Oh.
And yeah, and we had, he was a podiatrist. And we had a $5 bet every year on the Aledo Alexis game.
Oh, man.
And we'd lobby at the golf course all summer on how many points we'd give each other. Well, anyway, Doc was a character. And after a round of golf at one of these places, he'd have a few cocktails. And the funniest story was there was a place in the Quad Cities, we must have played a Quad City course, called the Greenbrier.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we stopped there. Well, let's just say by the end of dinner and a few drinks, Doc was massaging our waitress's foot at the table, checking her feet out. So that kind of tells you what the road trips were like.
That's why you can never go to Greenbrier anymore.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll, We'll get Tom Kelly's reaction to that, but we need to take a break here. It's live local radio, WRMJ, WRMJ.com, the Illinois Broadcasters Association Small Market Radio Station of the Year.
Maybe you know someone like Sue. She's the mother of three, married to Sam. And like you, they're busy. Sam farms, Sue works, and the kids, well, even now, seems like they're always on the go. Life gets in the way of living, Sue says, and she knows she needs to protect her family. So Sue says to Sam, "We need some life insurance." Sam agrees but says we don't have time for it. Not with Country Financial. They're so flexible, they'll make the time to meet you where you live, in person, online, or on the phone. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative? Sue says you should.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Viola, see me, Troy Mayhew.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
When your computer dies, where do you go to replace it? A website? How do you know what you need? When a virus attacks your computer, what do you do? Do you have virus protection on your computer? How about malware protection? How about computer service? Important questions for you and your business, office, and home. Trust the professionals at Office Specialist to handle your computer service and update your virus and malware protection. To learn more, go to osi.biz and click on the technology tab in the heading. Keep your computer system running smoothly with Office Specialists in Galesburg.
Time is winding down at 6140 Run for 50% off athletic shoes by Ultra, Brooks, Mizuno, Hoka, and Saucony, including Saucony's cross-country spikes. That means only $60 a pair while they last. Save on the best athletic shoes for walking, running, working out, or for every day. And always get a good fit with Albert, the 3D foot scanner. 6140 Run carries Wolverine and Red Wing Irish Setter work boots, too. The best fit at the best price is at 6140 Run, 218 East Main Street in Galesburg.
All right, the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning, our final segment. We have Matt Ewing with us, Paul Flint, and Tom Kelly joining us via phone line, again, down from the North Carolina area. And we were going into the break, Tom Kelly. You know, John was relaying some of those memories he had and some of those stories. So I think that shows you kind of did it the right way, involved. You know, Matt's been talking about junior golf. Paul's been talking about junior golf. But then really kind of ingraining yourself in the community and working with area businesses to kind of really grow the course. It sounds like you had the right blueprint to make that thing work back in the late 70s, early 80s. Is that right?
It's true, and I got to tell you, that story about Doc is true. he would definitely have a waitress's foot. So. And some of the, you're asking for names too, you know, Gene Cooper, Rex Dahl, John Ward, you know, those guys were part of our trip a lot of times. You know, we had a blast on that trip.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, too, as you talk about that, what has this kind of conversation meant to you today, reliving some of these memories and hearing Matt talk and Paul talk and John Hoshite talk? I'm sure that brings back some fond memories for you back in the day.
It really does. You know, I am grateful, John, that this is not a 6 a.m. radio show that you made me get on a bunch of times when we were doing those.
Yeah.
But everything was just brand new. You know, attitudes were great. People, you know, we were talking a little bit. Matt, you might remember this, but I think one of the reasons that the junior program did so well is because Mitchell really liked it. And Mitchell had his own private cart. And he would come up and watch me give the clinic on Friday morning. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure he had farm work to do, but the Friday morning, he would come and just observe, and he had a big smile on his face when we had all these kids out there. And, you know, that type of, you know, I don't want to say good old days kind of feeling about everybody being positive and encouraging is, you know, maybe a little missing in today's society, but, man, it was fun back then.
I remember that cart very well. He would, not only during our junior years, but even on as I grew up, many times he'd come out and watch me play the last few holes or a few holes out in there, and just always enjoyed his smiling face and his always asking me how things are going and where my career's at and what's going on. Even after he was no longer the owner, he still continued to be out there on that cart and be there.
And I guess, Paul, if you can share the story, I mean, why did he say, I see this piece of ground, I want to make it a golf course? What was really his motivation to say, is that something he always wanted to do?
I think so. He loved sports. He was never married. At the time, he was very successful farming. Interest rates had always been low. He made a lot of money on the farm. And I think he thought we needed a public golf course. I mean, he knew the country club was there, and it's still there and doing fine. But he wanted a public golf course, and that's what it was.
All right, I know you've done a lot of homework and have a lot of history, so I want to make sure, are there some other tidbits you haven't brought up yet that you want to bring up? I want you to share some of that. You've done great research on this.
Well, John mentioned Wednesdays. I was going to say, our sheet, and Tom got us started with this, Tom would have us write down the names of every golfer. And I got to know a lot of people in the Quad Cities that way. But back then, we would fill up that sheet. On weekends, Matt can say, hey, those kids got on the course, but they couldn't just come out. I mean, they had to get a tee time. It was usually full on weekends from 6 in the morning till about 1:30 in the afternoon. Wednesday afternoons were always busy. And one thing I noticed was we had made notes that there were several bus trips that came in. Hannibal, Missouri, a group from Oakwood Country Club in the Quad Cities. I mean, we had a lot of play back in the day. It really, and oh, I was going to, John mentioned Rex Dahl, Gene Cooper, and those guys. Rex was one that's notorious for when he drove past number 3 tee out on the highway, and if he saw people on 1 or 2, oh my gosh. This is going to slow us down because those guys really played fast. And yeah. Anyway, Rex, it's going to be okay. We'll get you on.
All right. So, Matt Ewing, anything else you need? You know, just I want to make sure that when we talk about this storyline from, you know, late 1970s to now and just kind of reflecting on the history and tradition, what are some of your other thoughts that maybe you haven't brought up today?
One thing that I would say about Tom Kelly being on today is I don't think people probably realized how good of a player he was. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the inspiration for me as a junior golfer, he was the first person I'd ever been around that his ball flight, specifically off of a driver, it just went out for like 200 yards and then it would start to rise. And it was just an incredible feeling of, wow, that's how it's supposed to be. And so then as a junior golfer, you're out there trying to emulate it and make that happen. And him taking us on a couple of different junior pro tournaments was really cool as well. And so, you know, I think a lot of times as PGA teaching pros, you know, they get stuck on the range or in the office all the time. But Tom could play a lick, too.
And I guess, too, I think one of the interesting points from you is, you know, being a small school kid and being a small town kid, you know, growing up in Seton area, when you start playing this game, you have to be a little bit overwhelmed and say, well, I'm just, can I compete at a high level? When did you realize that, you know, you can get over that fear of, I'm just from this small town, there's no way I can be one of the top golfers in the state. Is there something that you were taught, or is that just something that comes from inside of you, or was it something that you learned?
No, it's actually a process, and actually Hawthorne was involved in it. When I was, I think, 15, Paul talked earlier about the Hawthorne Ridge Amateur, which they had 120-some players in the field, and there was a junior division and then the regular amateur division. I think I was playing in the 15, 16-year-old bracket, whatever it was, and I won it. But the thing that I also did that year was from the same tees on the same golf course, I shot the same score as the low amateur.
Oh, wow.
So I would have been, I think that was Bill Taylor, actually, that year. and I would have been playing off against him in the actual championship for the whole tournament. Now, I'm smart enough now to realize if I'd actually been playing in the amateur part, I would never have shot that because of intimidation and everything else. But for a junior golfer to be able to say, okay, my bar is here, maybe I have a little bit more talent than I thought I had. And it just, I think it's the process that happens that inspires you to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. And looking back, I only have one regret as it applies to Hawthorne Ridge, and probably not many people know this story, but in the late 90s, I had won on the Hooters Tour, and, you know, so I knew all the people in the back office and everything else with the Hooters Tour. I got a call, and they said that they had had a Midwest tournament site cancel. Do I know any courses that they could play? And so I immediately said, well, if I got a chance here, I'm going to go for it. And Dennis Marker was the owner at the time. And so I helped connect Dennis and the Hooters Tour up, and we cemented the deal. It was a done deal. The Hooters Tour was going to play at Hawthorne Ridge. And unfortunately, when the Hooters Tour comes in, they bring in a semi, and they do everything. They got this semi retrofitted for the leaderboard, their offices, everything, so they don't interrupt with the clubhouse or anything. They do all their stuff from the semi. Well, it takes a certain power feedage. Wow. And Hawthorne had it out at the maintenance shed, but they didn't have it at the clubhouse. I sit there and I think about that today, and I'm like, golly, call an electrician. I'd have paid for it. You know, I mean, it can't be that hard.
Yeah. All right. So we're winding down, Tom. I want just final comments from you about, you know, as we wrap up our conversation here as we approach the 10 o'clock hour. Just tell our listening audience what you need to tell them.
Well, I think that a couple things. Dedication and hard work. Paul, like I said, he put in easily 90-hour weeks. And just, you know, he and Mitchell were always on top of something. You know, whatever needed to be done, they were doing it. The maintenance crew, everybody that made it work, really invested in it. And I got to say something about Matt Ewing, too. Talk about Todd Hamilton practicing the rain. Matt Ewing did that as well. I mean, he was always working on his game, and that's kind of what I think is the value that comes out of that facility being built and everything, is all of the hard work and dedication that went into it. You know, yeah, we all really poured our heart and soul into it, and it is kind of sad that it's leaving. I was just planning a trip there to come the summer, but COVID got in the way. I'm missing out. You know, I'm going to miss playing again. So.
All right. Well, I appreciate those words from Tom Kelly as we wind down. I want to get Paul Flint here. Just final comments you need to make before we start.
Yeah, I just you know, think about how sad it is that this is closing, or possibly going to close. We think it is, but, you know, I just want to focus on the positive.
What this program is about.
What
today
was good back then, and it's like a death in the family to me. You know.
Well, and the memories today we share. That's what this is all about. Again,
right.
This is just about the memories of Hawthorne Ridge. Nothing else. You know, it
yep.
opened in 1978. I learned a lot of history that I didn't know today. And when you can get guys like Matt Ewing and Paul Flynn and Tom Kelly on, you've had a good day in local radio. So we appreciate our visit today. Again, Matt, the great Matt Ewing, 1984 state golf champ with us, and I know he's coached youth sports here in the Aledo Mercer County area, positive influence on the youth. And I know your grandson, you could hook up with Matt Ewing, and he could learn a few things from a class dude like Matt Ewing. But we had the right people on today, and I meet him. Matt Ewing's one of the best dudes I've met here in Mercer County since I arrived at WRMJ, because I can tell people my story. I used to compete against him in rec league basketball down in Joy at now the Mercer County Junior High, and they said, well, that guy's the former golf champ, and I'm like, can he play basketball?
I'm guarding him.
Yeah, and then I'm like, no, man, that dude can play basketball too.
And I just heard from a reliable source that he can still hit the tee shot about 320 yards.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you for coming in today. Great memories about Hawthorne Ridge. You're listening to 102.3 FM, WRMJ, and WRMJ.com.